Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is singer-songwriter Becky Reardon. Reardon's songs and rounds have been performed by singing circles and choirs across the U.S., Canada, and the British Isles. Her voice is familiar to millions of people who heard her singing on the Charlie Brown TV specials in the 1970s and 1980s. Reardon travels widely to lead singing in circle workshops and since 2005 has co-led the very popular Women's Singing in Circle Retreat at the Lama Foundation in northern New Mexico. Her songs are collected on four CDs, including her latest called Inside the Outside. I'm speaking to Becky Reardon by phone from her home in New Mexico. Becky Reardon, thank you so much for joining us.
Nice to be with you.
Now, so much of your music is about the beauty and rhythms of the natural world. Did you discover nature as a child?
Oh, I think I was always in nature. And I guess my first real strong memories were of being up in apple trees. There was a wild apple orchard at the end of the block I lived in a small town in Indiana, and I remember being up in the trees all summer long and being happy to be there and smelling the apples and looking out at the sky and loving the sunsets and feeling perfectly at home up in the trees.
Oh, that's what wonderful imagery of a childhood. Now, when did you translate some of that love and some of that discovery and vision into writing songs?
Boy, that was a long road. My singing was very formal for a long time. It was in church, and it was in college choirs and madrigal groups and singing opera, or studying opera, I should say, and then singing in little jazz clubs and so forth. And it had nothing to do with nature for a really, really long time until I chanced upon a kind of a chance vacation out in the Four Corners area, which is out here, Colorado, New Mexico, Utah, Arizona. And I just started going for walks in the desert, in the high desert, in the mountains. And it was kind of a transformational time for me anyway. And I would just be walking along, and after miles, I would get into a rhythm. And I would start just singing to the rhythm of my walking. And I noticed that it felt that as this went on for days and months, I noticed that I started feeling like the world was singing back to me.
Oh, wow. What a great thing.
Yes, it was. So that the patterns in the canyon walls or maybe the sound of the aspen trees up in the mountains, it felt like it was an exchange. And it felt like that was the first truly authentic singing that I was doing.
Mm-hmm. And did you start actually writing lyrics after that?
So phrases would come to me, and about the same time, I was in my 50s then, I was part of two really interesting groups. There were two women's groups, and one was in California in Point Reyes. It was a group of women who got together to sing rounds at the full moon. And the other group was a group of women out here in Taos, New Mexico, who met every week. And I started writing songs and taking them to those two groups because I could get them to sing to sing the rounds. And it was kind of at that time that I felt like I had the knack for that, and that's how it all started.
Wow, what an amazing journey! So you were actually a trained musician in classical, and you decided not to go that route.
Right. Well, everyone talks about finding their voice and the right thing for them to sing. And I don't, although I sang many different kinds of music, I didn't feel like I really found what I wanted to sing and what I wanted to write till quite late.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am glad that you found it. I also want to talk to you about some of the early days. I know you worked as a studio singer on TV and radio commercials. How did that come into being?
It started with work I did on the Charlie Brown TV specials. So I met those folks, and as I started working with the music producers for that show, then they asked me to sing on some commercials.
And what was that experience like? Did you enjoy it, or did you feel like you were segueing into something else at the same time?
I was young and foolish. It was, you know, I was most like, oh, this is so exciting. I'm in the studio and I'm getting to sing on TV. And that's what it was. It didn't feel really like a part of anything else, as exciting as it was. You know, it was wonderful, but it can't compare to the experience I'm having now.
Yeah, I imagine that would be the case for you. Now, let's talk a little bit about the current CD. It's called Inside the Outside. It's a really unique project. It, you know, circle songs, intimate songs about aging. To tell us how it came to being.
It's probably it's all my life, really. It's Inside the Outside. Partly in the beginning comes from feeling like an outsider. When I was a girl growing up, I loved sports, and I could never play any kind of organized sports because it was before Title IX. I never got to be on the team. I was always outsider. And then part of it comes from being a gay person, and especially as a person who's gay and singing songs all my life by other people where the pronouns are all mixed up for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I had that experience of being on the outside. And then this CD, though, is, I mean, that's kind of the context I come from. This CD, though, is about the experience of many different types, many different ways of being on the outside, but finding a way to get into it.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
It's about experiences in nature where you, for example, I have a song on this CD about the rising of the waning moon. And over the years, I've started paying a lot of attention to the sky and the constellation and constellations and where the moon is. And so this song is about where the late rising, the late waning moon is, which it rises at dawn. And here in Taos, New Mexico, it rises over the mountains. So part of the CD is about being inside the experience of paying attention to nature.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're searching for kind of an intimacy with the outsider status.
Yes, in many different ways, and even in my own self, finding what it feels like to grow older and look older and feel older. That's another kind of initiatory experience of finding myself in a body that feels unfamiliar to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's what the song, it's funny I can't remember the name of my own song. Oh, I'm comparing myself to a juniper tree.
Yes, yes. I forget what the title is, too.
Old Woman Juniper.
Old Woman Juniper, yes. Uh-huh. Well, I do want to play an excerpt from Inside the Outside. This one's called A Raveling Dance. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. It came from a dream I had. I woke up remembering this dream of being in deep, dark, outer space on some kind of a huge revolving disc with strange yet vaguely familiar, shadowy figures all around me. And I felt like they were incarnations, you know, future incarnations of myself or angels. I didn't know what.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like it was something that was drawing me and something that I was going to become. And that's how the song started.
Well, let's listen to an excerpt from it.
Okay.
I'm dancing on the head of a pin. So many angels are dancing. I'm dancing with someone that I've never been. So many angels are dancing. Spin, spin, everyone spin. Spin a silver thread. In, in, everyone's in. The angels.
Wow, you know what? It's a really beautiful song. It does sound like a circle song. I want to ask you this too about some of your work. Were you influenced greatly by the folk traditions?
Probably. My family roots are Celtic, so I would say that seeps in mm-hmm. into my music as well as probably jazz does mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. well.
But I was thinking the difference between folk traditions and what you do is, you know, folk traditions always have broken love and you know, tragedy. And your work is much more life-affirming. Was that a conscious decision on your part to write positive songs?
I don't think... As I've been writing, I have tried to not have an idea so much about what I was going to write about, but to just be, to start with rhythms, and then to let my lyrics come out of that, whatever they might be. And it's also partly the age I am, that I'm not struggling so much with romance and falling in love as I was earlier in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's partly a function of that.
Well, let's go back to the fact that that you are gay, and you obviously probably had a coming out process. Have you ever been compelled to write political songs?
I've started a few, but I'm not good at it.
What makes you say that?
That's a good question. I haven't thought about that before. Because I think my contribution is, it seems to come out to be as deep in my experience of being in the natural world and being in my body and being focused there, and then feeling like I can act from that place of having located myself in the universe and in my community and so forth. And so I think my songs make people feel alive in themselves, and from there it's possible to be strong in whatever way you want to act in the world politically.
Ah, that's an interesting way of thinking of it. Wow. But you don't think you can write good political songs? Do you think you become too preachy? Is that the problem?
that could be. Yeah, I want to try to stay away from righteousness. It always gets me in trouble.
Mm-hmm. And to tell us about your ideas of spiritualism, because a lot of your songs are based in that. It's not religion, it's spiritualism. Tell us what your philosophy is.
Yeah. Boy, I struggle all the time to articulate that. I feel like the songs come from a place of deep joy and reverence for living in this world, in this cosmos, in this place, in this body. They're not, I don't think they're abstract. I think they really come from the experience of being here and loving it. And I think they're songs for what I would call a new community of people who are deeply spiritual, but aren't part of any organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few thoughts on that. I think it's still and oh, I know what else I wanted to say. When I first came out to Taos, of course I'm surrounded by Native American culture out here, and experimented with participating in sweat lodges and hearing the Native American songs and chants, and felt like it wasn't quite right to take over those and use them in my own way. And I felt like, all right, I love these chants, which are so much about the earth and stars, and I want to contribute from my own experience whatever songs I can.
If you're just joining us, my guest is singer-songwriter Becky Reardon. Now, let's go back to the fact that you sang on those Charlie Brown TV specials in the 70s and 80s. Were you writing your own songs then, or were they given to you?
No.
And how were you interpreting them?
They were written by the music producers of the show, Ed Bogus and Judy Munson. And you know, my focus was just, oh boy, I get to be in a recording studio. I get to sing on a television show, and you know, I didn't think about. I mean, I tried to sing them as artfully as I could, but you know, it's just a different subject matter.
Uh-huh.
Except for one show I sang on was, I sang a hymn called Farther Along, and it was on a show about one of Charlie Brown's little friends who had leukemia.
Mm.
And it was quite controversial. The TV network did not want there to be a hymn on a comic character show, and Charles Schulz insisted. And so I ended up singing Farther Along, which came from my early background of singing in church. And I felt very deeply identified with that song.
Mm. Oh, I'll bet you did. Wow. That I didn't know anything about that. Now, let's talk about the fact that many of your songs are obviously influenced by the places you've lived. You lived in Northern California. You've lived in New Mexico. Have you adapted to these different places, and is it drawing out different things in you? Can you talk to about how it's influenced you differently?
Oh, yeah. I mean, living in New Mexico, it's so dry here. That water is like gold.
Mm-hmm.
Also living in northern New Mexico, there's a lot of pollen.
Right.
So I've written a lot of songs about water. And you'll notice on the CD, there's a kind of almost an anthem to water called Bless the Water. And it talks about the streams and the oceans and the bays and the springs and so forth. So I write a lot about water here. I write a lot about being in the desert. I write about the night sky because it's so clear here. You can see the Milky Way as if it was, you know, only a mile away overhead.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the songs I've written have come from being in New Mexico, because even when I was living in California, I was coming to New Mexico a lot.
Mm-hmm. You know, the times I've spent some time in the deserts. I've been to Arizona, and I'm from California, and went to the California deserts a lot. I find the desert incredibly haunting and almost frightening because I don't know how to fill it in with what I find familiar. Do you find that at all, the hauntingness of the desert?
I find it haunting in the sense that it feels, you know, it used to be filled with oceans and
mm-hmm.
seas. And so the feeling of the desert being haunted by water is with me.
Ah.
But I never felt that I couldn't fill it up. I loved it from the minute I started experiencing it. And I think it's because the things you focus on sometimes are so far apart. Like there might be one creosote bush, and that's the only thing there is for a long ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then there might be, you know, a little bunch of what we call escoba de vibra, which is rattlesnake flower, just a little wildflower. And then that's all there is for a while. So things seem so discreet and so precious because they were so sparse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was, I remember that. I loved that. And you may have been in different desert places.
I'm sure I have. I always described it as being haunted by what is absent in the desert. So that's interesting to me, people seeing different visions there. Now, Becky, before we do run out of time, I do want to play another piece from Inside the Outside. This one's called In Fives. Tell us about it. It's a fascinating, rhythmic, different kind of work.
Yes, it is. I felt I needed to challenge my rhythmic sense a couple of years ago, and I thought, well, I'll write a tune. I'll write something in 5/4. I want to be experimental. So I didn't have that rhythm in my body, and I started walking, and as I walked, I'm pacing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, and then the one starts on a different foot every time. And I just couldn't get it for a long time, and I started thinking, this is driving me crazy. And, of course, that's practically the first line of the song, which is, rhythm, you're driving me crazy.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of it.
Okay.
Gay, 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 gay. out in twos or three. Five, they're always in fives rhythm. You're driving me crazy. You're driving me mad. You're driving me crazy. Since Monday I can't stop slapping. Can't quit clapping. Clacking like a caboose. Set me loose, I'm losing sleep. Counting sheep, not in twos or threes. But they're always in fives rhythm. You're driving me crazy. You're driving me mad. You're driving me crazy. Since Monday I can't stop slapping.
Crazy.
Can't
you're
quit clapping, clacking like a caboose.
Since Monday, I can't stop clapping. Can't quit clapping, clacking
or three
like a caboose.
But they're always set in my losing
sleep. Got a sheep, not
driving me mad.
Or three,
driving me crazy. Since Monday, I can't stop slapping.
Crazy.
Can't quit clapping, clacking like a caboose. Sunday.
Now, this actually sounds like a continuation of your previous CD, in which you called Natural Rhythms, which you recorded with the wonderful Terry Garthwaite. Tell us, was that something you wanted to continue exploring after you did that work with her?
In fact, Terry and I and another woman have put together a trio that we call Natural Rhythms. The other singer is a folk singer from Atlanta, Georgia. Her name is Elise Witt. And in fact, we just did a tour of several concerts in the Atlanta and Birmingham area in the last 2 weeks. So we are singing together. And most of our tunes are very rhythmic that we're doing together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what is it like for you to perform in front of people? Because it seems like a lot of your work is very, like what we were talking about, being an outsider trying to be intimate. It seems like very personal
uh-huh.
work.
Uh-huh.
Is it difficult for you to perform in front of groups of people, strangers?
Well, not at all. I used to have really a lot of stage fright when I was singing other people's songs. But now I feel like I'm helping, let's see, do I want to say this? In a way, I'm helping create a community that wants to hear this sort of song. So I'm only too glad to be able to perform.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel totally at home. I love it.
Tell us what kinds of groups that you're involved in. I know you're involved in several different groups, and you sing with different groups and women's choirs and so on. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Right. Well, with Terry Garthwaite and Melody DeMore, who is a wonderful, wonderful singer and teacher who helped start Cultural Heritage Choir in Oakland with Linda Tillery, you may be familiar with.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then Kate Munger, who has started the Threshold Choirs, which is another conversation. But the four of us lead a retreat in the mountains here in northern New Mexico at the Lama Center, which is like at 8,500 feet. And we have about 50 women who come every summer for 5 days, and we sing all day long. And we sing the songs written by the four of us. Melanie brings a whole tradition of spiritual songs with her, and that's a highlight of my year every year when we do that. And then I teach a class called The Joy of Singing Harmony. And I also perform with a harp player here, Julie Hawley, who is on the albums Inside the Outside, and we perform around the local area.
Well, what is it like to teach people to sing? Are you teaching them to open up? Are you teaching them to communicate with a new kind of language?
Yes, I hope so. That's what I try to do. Oh, we do a lot of things to explore how your voice, how you used to use your voice when you were a little baby. I think we're all born singers. If you think of the noises little babies make, and if you think of how you talk to your pet,
I assume you don't have children.
Or little children. But, you know, when you're talking to your pet, you're like, oh, come here, honey, let me pet you, you know. And all of a sudden, you're in your musical voice. And so we do exercises like that just to remind people that you start off very musically, and you also start off with your music coming in a connection with your body. It's not on a written page. And we try to get away. You know, I have a lot of people come to my classes who have sung in choruses and have always sung while they're looking at a piece of paper with, you know, with the notes on them. And I want to say that's just a map, you know. And if you're in Paris, do you want to be just looking at a map, or do you want to be in Paris walking around the streets? And so we try to get away from music on the page and just feel it in ourselves as we sing and move.
Are you influenced by other people's music? Do you listen to a lot of music throughout your life, or are you busy making music most of the time and not listening so much?
Yes, I listen to a lot of music. I listen to a lot of music from Mali. And then I love the Brazilian composers. I love samba and bossa nova music. And it kind of varies from time to time what I'm listening to, but that's the most of what I listen to right now.
Well, that's interesting. I often wonder if people are influenced by other people's music. Okay, I want to talk to you about what's coming up next for you. Are you working on any new music that's pouring out of you?
Well, what's coming up is that my harp player friend and I are going to play at the Albuquerque Folk Music Festival later on this month. And then I'm looking forward to the Lama retreat in August. And then I'm going to have 10 women singer-songwriter teachers here at my place in Taos for 5 days of sharing music and sharing what we're writing, workshopping it with each other, exchanging connections and so forth. And I'm taking time off consciously and not thinking about writing right now, because it was a really big push to get inside the outside out. And I want to be fallow for a while and see what comes next.
Well, that's great. Becky Roden, can you give some kind of contact information?
Sure. My website is at web.me.com/Becky Reardon.
Can you repeat that?
Mm-hmm. It's web.me.com/Becky Reardon.
Well, that's great. I think we have run out of time. And Becky Reardon, I want to thank you so much for joining us. And I wish you well with getting this music out. It's wonderful.
Thank you, Tish. Thank you so much for having me.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible donation in support of the Out of Bounds radio show, please contact our fiscal sponsor, the Arts of the Southern Finger Lakes, at earts.org. That's earts.org. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. We'll be back next week. I'm Tish Perlman.